body power. As much a part of Irish football as spending a 9-month loan spell at Preston North End.
All right, you're welcome back. It's Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you till 10. Just gone 7:30. And as always, John Giles is on the line. Evening, John. John, are you there?
Yeah, sure.
We got you.
Yeah.
53106, the text number. John is live with us this evening. If you have any questions you want to get in, we'll get to some of those in a while. We'll talk about Manchester United and Bruno Fernandes as well. I want to start, though, John, actually, by going back in time a little bit and talking about Liam Brady, because Paddy Agnew, who's covered Italian football for years, was in studio with us last night, and he was talking about one of the first times he met Brady after a match on a team bus, and was just talking about how revered he still was in Italy as one of the greatest foreign players ever to play in the country, and just how special a talent he was, which was really recognised by the Juventus supporters when he was there. And your memories of that time and just what sort of level Liam Brady was at?
Well, he was at the top, Nathan. He just got into the team on a regular basis at Arsenal. He was very young when he went to Juventus, and it was a time when it was the beginning of the freedom of contract. Now, it wasn't quite a freedom in Liam's day. It was it would have been say 3 times, 4 times your salary,
right?
The transfer fee was, and. Well, I knew Liam quite well at that time because I played with him. I was player manager when Liam played his first international, and I think he was under a bit of pressure, Arsenal, to sign a new contract because he got in the team when he was 17 and he was still on very low wages, Nathan. So it meant that 3 times his wages was very, very little, and I think there was a lot of pressure on him to sign a bigger contract at a much bigger wage, which would have made the transfer fee much higher. But there was a friend of mine I knew, and Ronnie Tiemann, who was a very good friend of mine. I put him in touch with Liam. He was a solicitor, and he was a big help to Liam because Liam was being bullied a bit, Nathan, at Arsenal because he was only a young fella, you know?
Right.
So he did go to Juventus then because he was on the freedom of contract. But instead of Arsenal today getting 60 million, 70, 80 million for him, they got a very low fee at that particular time.
He's come up quite a few times in our conversations over the last few months when we're talking about these young Irish players and whether you should throw them in. And like you've often pointed out to putting him in as a 17-year-old.
He was 18, 19 when he played his first international, Nathan.
Do you remember the first time you saw him and did you spot straight away that like he would be comfortable at any level?
Yeah, I there was a match at the end of the season at Leeds when Arsenal played. I wasn't playing in the game, but Liam was playing. And he was outstanding, Nathan. And I think we were going on a tour of South America with the Irish team at the end of that season. And I actually picked him to go on the tour. But Arsenal wouldn't release him. Actually, they didn't tell him about it. In those days, there wasn't automatic release of players. And it was only later on I said to Liam, I was picking you to go to South America. He said, I didn't know anything about it. But I only saw him, it was the first time I saw him, you could tell he was an outstanding player, Nathan. And we went on the South American tour and then he played, and when we came back from that, September, October, I think it was, he played his first international. I had no doubts about him at all. You know, he was just an outstanding player.
And what was it? Was it just technical ability, his reading of the game?
He was very, very comfortable on the ball, Nathan. And he was a wonderful dribbler. I mean, you see players playing a midfield player, in my opinion anyway, they're going a bit squared and backwards when they get the ball. Liam could actually beat players from the left-hand side of midfield, which made him extra dangerous and a good shot in his left foot. But a good natural footballer, Nathan. He was beautiful on the ball. You know, he was a great dribbler. He could glide past people, pick out the right ball. He was just a natural talent, Liam.
That time then when he went to Juventus in 1980, it was very rare for players from Ireland or Britain to go abroad and never mind go and settle. And like Paddy Agnew spoke about how he very much embraced the culture over in Italy and that probably endeared him even more. Having known him around that time, like, was it a big decision? Was it something that you would have seen as quite a risk to leave Arsenal to go to Juventus, as great a club as Juventus have been?
No, I think he wanted to go. You know, he was an established, although he was very young, he was an established player at Arsenal, Nathan. And this was a time too where You know, Italy would have been paying bigger money than English clubs. I mean, the Premier League are played out the biggest
wages at the moment.
Spenders,
yeah.
Regulars for money in the world. But Italy would have been in that situation at that particular time. Now, I'm not saying Liam went totally for the money, but it would have been a big attraction anyway. And he settled in well. He learned the language. He really, really went for it, Nathan. You know, and he was very good. And that's why, as you say, I think the Italian people, the Juventus supporters, took to him straight away. But he was a wonderful player to watch. You know, he was a really stylish player, very easy on the eye, and effective, of course.
With the way it is now, like the bits we see of Liam Brady are probably mostly YouTube videos, and a lot of them are of the goals, and just the quality of the goals and the brilliance of that left foot is sort of what we remember when we think about it. We probably don't see the full 90 minutes and just how impactful he could be in a full match.
Oh yeah, well, as you say, you don't have the coverage then that you have today. Mm. Like if he was playing today, it'd be sensational, I think. Nathan, if he was playing, well, I'm not so sure in the Arsenal team of today, but certainly in Liverpool or certainly Manchester United, well, he could get in the ball on his left-hand side and he could beat players. He could glide past him, pick out the right ball, score a few goals. He was a brilliant player to watch as well. Very easy on the eye.
Taking yourself out of the conversation, John, is he the best player you've ever seen play for Ireland?
Well, I think... There would be three players, in my opinion, that have been outstanding for Ireland. Mm. And this is, I don't want to go back too far because Jackie Carey was one of the great players, in my opinion. But I think Liam, Paul McGrath and Roy Keane would be the three outstanding players that I would pick over the period of time.
Yeah, we'll talk a bit more.
They're all different as well.
Yeah, Liam, very much
as we know, Paul was a defender, an excellent defender. Roy Keane was a midfield player. And great in what he did, but different to Liam. There would have been, I think, they would have been a great combination, except for Jack didn't want Liam in the team at that particular time. But Liam was different to Roy Keane, and they were great players in different ways.
Yeah, it was absolute madness what happened with Liam Brady and the national team over those latter years that they couldn't find a place for him.
Well, you know, Jack had a vision of the way he wanted the game played, and Liam didn't fit into that vision. I played with Jack myself, and Jack was the type of player. If I went deep for the ball, you get up the pitch. I can do what you can do. You know, and because he didn't want you taking chances at all. And I said, Jack, the way you want the game played, your Bobby wouldn't get in the team. He said he would. If he did what I told him to do. And I said, well, he wouldn't be Bobby anymore. But that was Jack. Jack had a vision. And Liam, as good as he was, Jack didn't want him in the team, definitely.
Going back to Liam, say, buying into the culture, you obviously went abroad at a similar enough time. You went and played in Philadelphia and you later went back then and managed in Vancouver. When you went away, did you very much buy into, well, the culture may not have been that different and the language was the same, did you buy into it?
Well, I went to Philadelphia only for half a season, Nathan.
So it was like a holiday.
But it was brilliant. I mean, I heard all sorts of things about American football. It's very gimmicky. They're doing this and they're doing that. That wasn't the case at all. Actually, the couple of things they were doing were very, very good. They had you couldn't be offside inside the outside the 35-yard line, Nathan. This was a time now in England there was an awful lot of offsides, and also that you wouldn't have a drawn match if it was say 2-2. You'd have a shootout, which you got on the ball from the halfway line and you had 5 seconds to get your shot in with only the goalkeeper to beat.
How difficult was that?
It was more difficult and more exciting than a penalty shootout. You know, there's more skill attached to it. But the big thing they had, for the away team, if you were beaten 5-2, you got 2 points. You know what I mean?
For scoring two
goals.
There
was no point in playing for a draw
right.
in American football. No score and you got nothing. Do you know what I mean?
Right, so...
Unless it went to the shootout. But if the match was 5-5, it finished 5-5, then the two teams will get 5 points. So you get a maximum, I think, of 7 points. So there were two things that I didn't know, but I heard about, oh, it's all gimmicky in America. It wasn't. Actually, the two things, those are the two big things that I mentioned, were very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Quite a few texts coming in about it.
But again, settling down was no, but I was only there for a short time, and it was different to Liam's situation, where the language, of course, he learned the language. It would have been a difficult thing to do. Like I was in Philadelphia, where you know they spoke English, and I was only there for a short time. Anyway,
text in from Ken, who said, "I saw Liam make his debut at 19 against Russia at Dalyman Park on Wednesday afternoon in October, either 73 or 74. Brady was outstanding. He was man of the match. He was earning £300 a week at Arsenal. They offered him £500 a week on a new contract. At Juventus, he earned £5,000 per week in 1980."
I'm not so sure he was even getting 300 a week at Arsenal, Nathan, to be quite honest.
We'll take a quick break, John.
Matter, but I mean, he definitely would have been making an all players that went, and very few at that time went to Italy. Italy were the Premiership now, money-wise, in their day, definitely. All the major players went to Italy. You know, they could buy players from England. Now it's the opposite. You know what I mean? The contrast in the wages was very, very big. Very big. All the top players. You remember all the top players from Holland and that went to later than Liam. But they had a good few foreign players at that particular time.
Did you ever have any opportunities to go to Europe?
No, I had none, Nathan. In my day, you had the retain and transfer system. Mm. If I was playing what I was at that time, playing for Manchester and then Leeds, if I wanted to go, they say no, but then you know, I'm not going to play for you anymore. That's okay. You can't play for anybody else.
Yeah.
In other words, if you signed a three-year contract, say when I was at Leeds, I signed a three-year contract. When my contract was up and I didn't agree terms with the club, they could say, or I could say, I'm not playing for you anymore. Okay, you can't play for anybody else. It was a retain and transfer system, even though your contract was finished.
So it simply wasn't
an option. So I had no chance. I mean, when I was about 28, I would have loved to go to Italy. Mm. But I was playing in a good team. I was happy at Leeds. And I knew I couldn't move anyway, Nathan, you know?
Stick with us, John. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk about more recent matters in just a moment.
Paddy Power. As much a part of Irish football as spending a 9-month loan spell at Preston North End.
You're welcome back. John Giles is still with us here on Off the Ball. John, we've had our first sighting of Bruno Fernandes in a Manchester United jersey. A pretty forgettable game against Wolves last weekend. A scoreless draw. He's coming in at a time when they need a bit of a saviour, so he's going to have to probably put up with some snap judgments and people very much reading a lot into one performance. What did you make of what he did that day?
Well, again, it's one performance, Nathan. It's very, very hard to judge a player on one performance. But what I saw of him, and I ran it again next day to have another look at him, I don't see him as being a commanding presence in the middle of the field. I think if he's going to do it for Manchester United, he'd be like a goal-scoring midfield player, Nathan. Because I was looking at him, you're looking at his how he's reading the game and his positional sense. And like when Manchester United had it in a deep position, he was very far forward, Nathan, a bit too far forward for my liking, to get on the ball and control the game from there. Again, you know, I'd like to see him a few more times. But that was my first impressions of him. Mm. Looking to get a shot in, looking to make forward runs, sometimes getting past the strikers. And that seems to be the type of player he is. I think he scored a fair amount of goals in his career. So I don't think you'll see an awful lot of him in midfield.
Yeah, he scored like 33 goals from midfield for Sporting Lisbon last season in all competitions, yeah. 15 already this season. He's not that commanding midfielder. I guess when you look at Manchester United midfield right now, they need two or three. So he may well end up being one very good part of a new jigsaw midfield. But it may not be a sort of player who, in the space of 6 months between now and the end of the season, can transform a side?
Well, again, I'm only looking after one performance. But you can see what a player wants to do. And what he strikes me as a player who will score goals as a midfield player, Nathan. But when you see somebody scoring 30 goals last season, it means he wasn't in the middle of the field all that much. Mm. So if you want a goal-scoring midfield player, then you probably got one. But if you want a midfield player that I think Manchester United need at the moment, from what I saw the other day, he's not going to be able to do that.
The performance in general you saw from Manchester United, we watched Wolves here in studio a couple of weeks ago up against Liverpool, and like, they were excellent, and you spoke a lot about their midfield. You do look at that Wolves midfield and think, if that Wolves midfield was playing in a Manchester United midfield, United would be a far stronger team.
Oh, I would say so. But Wolves, I thought Wolves were by far the better team the other night, Nathan. I thought they well deserved to win the match. They looked at, you know, from midfield, players up front. I thought Manchester United didn't play anywhere near as well as Wolves did. Wolves were by far the better team.
Jean Moutinho in the middle of midfield for Wolves, a player you know probably been linked with the Premier League for the last 10 years and finally arrives into his 30s. Is he that all-round commanding midfielder that Manchester United should be looking for, that type of player? Like, is he at that level?
Oh, definitely. But he plays more or less on the right-hand side of midfield, but a very good from that position. He's a genuine midfield player, Nathan. You know, he doesn't play in the centre of midfield, but he does an awful lot of good work and has done over the years. Been a top-class player for Portugal over the years. Mm. I know he's not in the Portuguese team now, but he's been a real player. And, like, Manchester United don't have anything like him, in my opinion, playing for them. But Fernandes, you would see what he's supposed to be and did play mostly in the central position, but way too far forward that I can see to be really making his presence felt in the middle of the field.
We have an email in from Vincent Lowe who wants us to put this question to you. Is Jordan Henderson one of the greatest English midfielders of his generation, or is he an average midfielder that works tirelessly for his teammates who, given their quality, make him look a better player than he actually is?
I would go with the second point. My take on him is that the players that they've got in, the brilliant players they have around him, has made him a better player. I don't think he's made them a better player.
Is average a bit harsh on him?
Well, it's probably a bit hard because he's doing well in a very, very, very good team. But, if, you know, his all-round play is okay. But if you look, he doesn't score many goals, Nathan. He doesn't make many goals. You know, I'm not a big fan. I think he's okay. Mm. I think his attitude is good. He's a good hard worker. But I'd be amazed if he comes. Let's talk about him being Footballer of the Year.
Well, he's the odds-on favourite to be Footballer of the Year.
Well, I can't see that. I mean, if you've got Salah... Mm. And Mane,
Van Dijk,
I think they're all, and Robertson, and most of the players, I think, contribute more than he does
right
to the team. Definitely. I'd be amazed if he's Footballer of the Year.
If you were to pick one of them, and like, there's still quite a chunk of the season to go, but it does look as though Liverpool have the title won, like, who is your Footballer of the Season right now?
I would probably go for Robertson.
Right.
Yeah, I think he does everything. Alexander, the lad on the other side, is excellent going forward. He distributes the ball brilliantly. He's very, very good. Makes a lot of goals, Nathan. But I don't think he's as good defence. I mean, Robertson does that as well. He's not quite as stylish, but he defends much better. He's an all-round player. He gets forward at the right time. He gets back defensively. I think now there's a lot of outstanding players. Van Dijk could be up there. You know, Salah would be up there. Firmino. You know, Mane, I would put all of them before Henderson.
Just before we finish up, the big game last weekend was Tottenham against Manchester City. Manchester City, a lot of opportunities, missed the penalty kick, hit the woodwork twice, missed an open goal, and find themselves going down to 10 men, and Spurs took full advantage to win 2-0. Sixth defeat of the season in the Premier League for Manchester City. Was this another sloppy performance from City, or were they just a bit unlucky?
I thought they were unlucky, Nathan. I mean, it's a bit sloppy as well, but I don't think there's no way, in my opinion, that Spurs deserve to win the match. No way. I mean, they missed the penalty, they hit the crossbar, the woodwork twice. No, they weren't at their best, but they were much better than Spurs. Spurs got away with it, in my opinion.
Spurs won last night as well in the Cup, and the victory against United, probably the biggest since Mourinho arrived. Are they improving in any way since Mourinho took over?
Well, I don't know, Nathan. I mean, last night, I watched the match last night, and Southampton, over the 90 minutes, were by far the better team.
Mm.
Even Mourinho said afterwards, you know, Mourinho said, well, over the 90 minutes, I have to say the visitors were the better team. Now, they did show a bit of bite and fight about them when the game was in the last, I'd say, 20 minutes to go on and win it. I think they were at the best then. But, you know, I'd say the vast majority of the game, Southampton were the better team. But it's a good sign for Spurs that haven't been outplayed for a lot of the game. They went on to win it. But certainly, I mean, people were saying last week in the Manchester, oh, it was a typical Mourinho performance. I don't think it was a typical Mourinho performance. I thought they were very, very lucky in that particular game. You know, they kept at it all right, but they had anything that was going anybody's way, it was going Spurs last week.
Great stuff, John. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Okay, thanks, Nathan.
John Giles there. That'll be up on offtheball.com very shortly. Quick break, and then we're back with Brian O'Driscoll.
Paddy Power. As much a part of Irish football as spending a 9-month loan spell at Preston North End.